Okay, you guys, we're live.
Okay.
You ready? Are we ready?
We're ready.
Ready.
Hello, I'm Eddie Pepitone, and you're listening to NewDissonantRadio.com. Believe me, it sounds better than it is.
Hi, it's Jake Johansson, and you're listening to The Angry Atheists. What?
It's ardent.
Well, right, but I did the show, so I know what it is. It's angry. They're angry.
I love that one. Hello and welcome to Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme, not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the intertubes, and from her ferocious vocals at Monday Night Tees at three clubs in Hollywood.
Aw, shucks.
You can find our guests' websites, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in the live chat moderated by the author of the well-known blog Hit and Miss, Joe Swam, go to ardentatheist.com/live. And chat us up right now.
That's right, it's happening right now. And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, and write a review. Or go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium content for a measly $10 per year.
Do it or we'll tell the Pope you're gay.
We don't have access to the Pope.
That's too bad. He has amazing taste in robes and handbags.
I know, right?
Anyway, just go subscribe.
You heard the lady.
That's right.
Anyway, we only have two rules on the show. Rule number one, guests may plug anything they want because we're not hypocrites. Go subscribe. And rule number two, if you're a listener who's ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content and certainly has nothing for you, you gay oppressing pedophilic cross-dresser. We kind of ran out of music, didn't we?
Yeah, whatever. In the studio tonight.
No, I'm going to do it. In the studio tonight, we have John Rael.
Lennon.
Jared Lennon Kaufman. I'm turning her down.
Jared Ewing Kaufman.
Wendy Hughes.
Hey, hello.
It's so funny. I called you Ewing earlier.
Yes.
Jared Ewing Kaufman. What the hell was that about?
I have a senility, clearly.
It's senility. Yeah. I'm so fucking moron. Thanks for being here, Jared.
Oh, I'm happy to.
And also, thanks for being here, John Rael. But before you speak, let me say thank you to Wendy Hughes for being here as well.
You're welcome.
It's very nice to have you.
It's fun.
Now get her close to her mic. Make sure she's very
Make sure I'm close to my mic.
That's
Thank
exactly
you.
Right.
Yeah. Thanks, Heather.
Wendy Hughes and Jared Kaufman are, they work together.
Yes.
Yes.
On the Odds Must Be Crazy, a podcast that if you have not heard, first of all, listening to our podcast, it's at least an hour commitment.
Mm-hmm.
An hour and a half if you're a premium subscriber. But if you want to listen to The Odds Must Be Crazy, what's your longest episode?
8 minutes.
What are the odds of that? There's no commitment.
Granted,
you can listen to all their episodes in one sitting while taking a shit.
That's
I was going
right.
there. How did you know I was going there?
She knows you too well.
That was awesome.
Well,
they're called podlets.
They're
yes,
called podlets?
That's Wendy's term.
How
no,
cute
that's
is that?
That was Brian's term.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Brian
it
Dunning.
No, not Brian
Hart.
Dunning. Brian
Hart. Ewing Kaufman.
Brian Keith Hart. We know
Brian
a lot of
Keith
Brian
Dunning
Keiths.
Hart. Yeah,
lots
we do. Yeah.
Well,
Brian Keith Dalton, of course, Mr. Deity.
Yeah.
Brian Keith Hart, who is our sound engineer and producer of our podcast.
Yeah.
And the president of my theater company is just plain Brian Keith.
What the hell? What are the odds of that?
Damn it, we haven't calculated.
That should be,
we
that
have
should
to
be.
Ask Barbara.
Yeah, we need to
If you don't
that.
Believe in magic after that, then
right?
you are just a jaded asshole. That's the way I see it.
We must be jaded assholes.
That big IBM computer that's in the wall that calculates all the odds.
Sure. Yeah.
I think okay. that's from
Definitely.
The 50s.
Definitely.
Yeah.
No, it's
in the back.
It's in my bedroom.
Oh.
You keep Barbara in your bedroom?
I do.
Good yeah. God, her family's going to be furious with you.
The odds must be crazy. I mean, first and foremost, it's a website.
Yeah.
Our main focus initially and going forward is a blog.
Okay.
So we track stories submitted by our readers and listeners of crazy coincidences, synchronicity, all that sort of thing.
Right.
Like the same coincidence that you're wearing the same bra that I am today?
Exactly that. Well, no, that's not a coincidence.
Oh, you've been
I borrowed
my house.
Well, you keep duplicates. I borrowed the other one.
He's with Barbara Drescher in the bedroom. He's in our place taking your bras.
You know,
the man is whack.
I should clear up the Barbara Drescher thing. I meant Barbara the computer. I don't want to start any nasty rumors here. Barbara can start those herself if she wants.
I can tell you have a girlfriend now.
That's right.
All I want to say now is, John Rael, I've been keeping you quiet this whole time. Thank you for being here, by the way.
Hey, thanks for, you know, keeping me in. Hello. Oh, there I am. Nice. Thanks for, you know, wrangling me in.
Absolutely.
But allowing me to talk now has made me appreciate that reward.
Yeah.
Actually, I wasn't here. If we could get, like, a transcript of everything that was said, we could have you guys redo it.
Can you just play it right back, Emery?
You
record it, right?
Like, I won't change it. I'll just enhance it. Actually, you know, I might want to change it. So
he is a writer and a comic and a performer.
That's a coincidence. We're both wearing placebo bands.
Bam. Yeah. I left mine at home.
Oh. That's exactly right. And you have skeptically pwned is your
I do
is
indeed
your birthright, if you
and,
will.
And you pronounce that like a normal person does. Usually, anybody over 35, they're like skeptically pwned.
They do not.
They do too.
Well, really? I had to ask.
Yes. So you do skeptically pwned.
That's why I only date girls under 18. Wait, I mean over. You know, that's how I got in trouble in court.
Oh,
I got the wrong word. No, I keep in touch with the current vernacular. I have a daughter who's 27.
You're jiggy with it?
I'm jiggy with it. Like I said, I keep current vernacular.
You anyway, are Rex and Fix. Yes.
I'm a what?
Nothing.
All right, I got to start Googling. Let me text Blythe and find out what the hell's going on. She sent me one the other day that said fap, fap, fap. Or
oh,
fap.
Yes.
What the hell is that?
You had to look it
I've
up.
I've had to explain that to
didn't
too many people.
Didn't you ask me? Didn't you ask, what does fat mean? And I'm like, really?
Yeah, I did.
I had to Google BAMF today because of this guy.
BAMF?
BAMF?
Yeah. I'm like, BAMF. I'm like, boy, I'd like to know.
I love it.
Well, now I need to know.
Badass motherfucker.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
What was he referencing?
Me?
Yeah.
Obviously.
It's a photo of him with
the... You're obviously not that.
You didn't know if you should be offended or something.
Guess, yeah.
Yeah, this guy here was featured in the latest Skeptical Inquirer right alongside Mr. Deedy.
Center
as,
spread.
Yeah.
Where the staples are.
Something you need to watch on YouTube.
Where are the staples in that spread?
Yeah. In the center. In... that's all I know.
Right through his body.
It's a weight loss system.
Yes.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah.
And you also interviewed, John Rael interviewed Heather, myself.
Mm-hmm. And Tim Minchin was on our show that day.
Yeah. Paul Provenza.
I understand eventually you're going to interview Paul Provenza.
He's interviewed Bill Nye.
I'll get around and put him out. The Bill Nye one, that one has been released.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that guy is awesome. Even if a little bit
a little
of a
bit scary.
He's a bit of a, he can be, what's the word, a dick. no, he's not a dick. He's not a dick. I like the. I mean, he's going to the atheist fight lately.
Yeah.
You know? Ever since they jumped on his ass over
the moon thing,
pointing
the satellite,
out,
thing,
pointing
yeah.
out the. And let's be
Four
clear.
Years
said,
later,
right?
Yeah, by the way,
yeah. right. Ever since that moon thing, he's grown a little bit of teeth. You know. Yeah.
Well, he will not suffer ignorance or willful ignorance. Yeah. He just will not suffer it at all, and he seems to have a little bit of trouble just playing with stupidity too. I mean, you know, there's always that balance of if a person's stupid, you kind of it. Try to feel pity for them instead of just being a dick back. But there's a certain level where you can tell he won't suffer it anymore. And
not even from the people who are interviewing him.
Yeah. No, well, I suppose especially because we're supposed to be the smartest ones, right?
What happened? What'd you say?
No, it was just a small thing.
Did
like,
you ask him what his favorite color was?
No. we do the lab mics, and it's just an interview, just a little HD, YouTube, whatever. And so I just sling it on. And he's like, yeah, you might want to tuck that mic back. I'm like, oh no, it's cool. We're just you know, YouTube, whatever. He's like, no, you look like a mic with a person attached. Why don't you tuck that in?
He would not let you not tuck his mic in.
Okay,
John's mic,
on you,
on me.
He's yelling at you.
Yeah, me to tuck in my mic, and then he looked at my camera guy. He's like, yeah, you're gonna want to watch the lens flare on that too. Anyways,
wow,
did he really?
Yeah.
He was trying to make you very professional.
Guy knows what he's doing.
He will not suffer any
unprofessionalism there.
You know. Bill Nye has a great video out that's right now that's been getting a lot of press, and it's the one that's about creationism is not appropriate for children. It's on YouTube.
I'm hearing about that.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, it was really good.
I have
good.
Yet
and
to watch it, but yeah.
There was a funny article about him yelling at Mitt Romney. I'm getting it wrong.
What did he do? What did he do?
It was a Snopes thing, and everybody was posting it out as if it was real.
Hmm.
And It wasn't, but I'll find it for you.
Was it a rumor that he was like talking to a chair?
No, no. He, oh, not Mitt Romney. Bill Nye blasts Todd Akin.
Todd Akin, gotcha.
Right.
Yeah. Help me out. Todd Akin was the legitimate rape guy.
Yeah,
you know the one.
Oh,
yeah,
how sad is that?
Oh, yeah.
For the rest of Todd Akin's life, he gets to be referred to forevermore as
Mr. Legitimate Rape.
The legitimate rape guy.
You know what's funny? Yeah. I didn't quite understand what he was saying until a dude bro explained it to me. Work like a fellow bartender, because I thought is he thinking there's some evolutionary, like mystical, biological, chemical reaction that happens?
What your dude bro
and
tell you?
A dude bro's like, no, he's saying if the bitch's pussy isn't wet, she doesn't want it, but if it's wet, she totally wants it, so it's not real. I'm like, shit, that's totally what he's fucking saying.
That's not quite
that's
what
not
he's
it,
saying.
But that's
I
great
love
too.
That version
yes.
of it.
Yeah.
I love that version.
I think what he was trying to say is that, you know, there is some sort of biological process, is the belief, some ridiculous belief, that if she's not into it, you know, the body can't conceive. And so his point, therefore, is if a woman gets pregnant from rape, it wasn't really rape. She was into it. You know, she's making it up after the fact and claiming it was rape to get the guy. You know, all this bullshit.
Do you know
of,
where
you know,
he
woman.
Got that?
Well, based on what I was reading and hearing, this goes back
1970.
Years,
no,
actually.
No, 1973 or 74 is what he was basically basing. He was basing his argument on a paper written by a doctor in the 70s. Yeah, that's what he was writing.
That's probably the most recent one that still claims it, but it seems to be a belief going back, you know, centuries.
Really, I'd like to know how far back it goes, and I wish I had known we were going to go down this path because I would pull it up. The paper that was written by this doctor is so fucking, it's so obviously bad. There's no real logic being applied whatsoever. It when you read it, it seems like
it's conjecture being asserted.
It's weird. It's almost like apologetics. Mm-hmm. It's really odd, and this guy buys into it. You need to look
at
it.
If somebody knows the doctor name, like, text it in. Send it in.
Oh, yeah. The wall of reason probably already has it.
I really wish that thing that Bill Nye had done was real, because it's basically said during a live interview this morning with the Smithsonian Channel, the mild-mannered science educator unloaded on U.S. Congressman Todd Akin, calling him a fucking idiot for accusing Nye of personally provoking Hurricane Isaac. And he goes, look, these people, they're fucking retarded. Rape can't cause pregnancy. Breast milk cures homosexuality. I caused a hurricane by challenging creationism. What could possibly take these people seriously anymore?
That sounds like something he would say. This isn't true.
I know. That's why I thought it was true.
How is this not true?
It's not true.
I mean, he had trouble dealing with, you know, the
satire. I was so sad.
Oh, that is sad. Because that's actually not even good satire, because that's 100% believable.
Yeah.
Some people complain about, not some people, David Richards complains about, about Colbert.
I remember that, yes.
Yeah, and
that Colbert's bad satire because he believes it.
Yeah, and right. I'm like, just because you're falling for it doesn't mean it's bad satire. Go home, check out a mirror. Anyway, David Richards, and who that is he was behind the IIG awards.
Yeah,
he was
the
man
IIG
behind
with
the
us.
IIG, and he's an IIG member.
Yeah,
I pick on David Richards. He's my other libertarian friend.
We joke with Dave because, you know, he himself jokes about being the outsider in the group, and the reality is Dave keeps us honest because, yeah, there tends to be, whether it's a liberal bias or whatever within our group, you know, there's always jokes that reality has a liberal bias. Whatever the case is.
It took me a while to realize that there is bias. I was a liberal most of my life. As a young kid, I was a Republican for a period of time. I called myself a young Republican because I wanted to make millions, and I didn't want anybody taking it. I fell for that bullshit. But most of the time, I've been a bleeding heart liberal. And I never realized the error of my own dogma in the liberal view until recently. It was Penn, I think, that really turned me on to the fact that there is heavy bias on my side, and I need to be careful about that. It embarrasses me sometimes.
Well, what really turned me off of the whole liberal thing, and I told you this story. It was my ex-girlfriend. We had this huge argument about global warming. Like, you know, yes,
liberal,
it's real.
Or libertarian? Just clarify.
She liberal. She turned me off of the liberal thing. And she was, you know, hardcore liberal. And we were having this huge debate about global warming. You know, yes, it's real. Yes, it's contributed heavily by man. And yes, we need to do something about it. But we're not sure how bad or how fast or, you know, what things are going to do, cost-benefit ratio. Like, there's a lot of unknowns. And she's like, yeah, but if we let people know that, they're going to do the stupid thing. Whoa. I'm done with political agendas.
It's really awful. Yeah. I mean, that's as skeptics, which all of us in this room are also skeptics. Mm-hmm. We're not just all atheists. We are all atheists, right?
I am.
Atheist.
I thought so.
Yeah. Atheist.
Positive atheists, I believe they call it.
I've been tested.
You put the plus in front of the atheist.
Yes, I am a plus atheist. There is no God. I'm willing to, bet any amount of money
on that. So you're just asserting.
As a positive atheist, they are making strides in HIV studies. So do not worry.
By the way, the paper is Dr. Fred Mecklenburg.
Yeah, Fred Mecklenburg.
Limitations for induced abortion, a physician's perspective.
Mecklenburg, of course.
Of course.
It's always Mecklenburg.
Yeah, send me a link to that. I want to pull that up. I got to read a couple passages from it since we got into it. I want to make sure that we mention. We always do a couple of topics. We have a couple topics that are on the page when we get together, and I don't often talk about the topics. We just roll into them. I wanted to make sure that we didn't talk our way past one of what I think is one of the most amazing things I've read in a while, Elvis Presley's Bible. Fetches $94,600 at a UK auction.
Meanwhile, his soiled underwear didn't sell.
Nothing for the underwear.
Well, not nothing.
It seems much more useful.
They bid $5,000 and the reserve was at $7,000. Now, that's what got me. Listen, I'm interested in a story where...
They're both full of shit.
Some crooning... some
I like it. Nice.
Well done, Jared.
I can't believe I almost talked right past that. That was beautiful. Nicely done. I need to send links to our guests more often. They're going to walk in with some jokes.
Right. Right.
That was awesome. And listen, I know why it's worth that. I really do. The story was funny because it said that they said that they thought that the Bible was worth £25,000. Because it was in the UK, and but it fetched twice that, they said. And I don't even know how you figure that out. How do you come up with a number for Elvis Presley's Bible?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But according
maybe it
to
had
the
puke stains.
According to the story, he had personal notes in the Bible and highlighted certain.
I think that's a lot of the value right there.
That's where the value is.
At least I certainly hope that the value is there less than the Bible itself.
No, I mean, I honestly think like if he had a copy of Moby Dick all marked up, it'd go for just as much.
Right.
Yeah, that's a shitty book. But
I hope so. Well, but yeah, still, point is, you know, it's the notes that matter.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is the notes that matter. You know what I'm interested in?
Yeah.
I wonder if I might ever find an opportunity to make enough money in my life to buy Christopher Hitchens Bibles.
No, you won't.
Highlighted to hell.
Oh my God.
Spit on.
Probably the appeal is sadly more limited than Elvis.
That's a
shame. So you might have a chance.
Maybe. I don't know. I'm probably not going to outbid Penn and Teller.
Never.
Has the Hitchens estate...
not that I'm aware of. I imagine that the family's still hanging on to that.
Yeah, it's probably going to be another generation before that kind of stuff is let go.
Yeah. So,
damn it.
Or Dawkins. Wouldn't it be cool to have a book that Dawkins had marked up?
Or just to have him sign a Bible.
Yeah, that's cool.
Fun.
I want the Bible read by Dawkins.
Yeah, that's what I would. I would pay any amount of, not any amount of money. I'm not rich, but I would pay money to get
rich,
a book
I'm
on tape.
You.
Oh, okay, bye.
Bye.
To get a book on tape read by or by the Bible on tape read by Dawkins.
Well, it's an outdated concept.
Why do you think so?
Book on
have
tape?
Him read it on tape.
Oh, really?
Do you even have anything to play that anymore?
What is the word now?
Audiobook.
Audiobook. Every time we have someone on the show who's pushing
a
book, I always say the exact. Yeah, you are a pedant.
Digital pedant.
I always say the same thing when someone's on the show pushing their book. Where can we hear this?
This slick kid has the cassette recorder tape player that plays on both sides.
That's
you
right.
You don't have to flip it.
That's true,
that's
right?
Right.
I got a laser disc like that. No, not even.
I know
he's not even a joke.
Not kidding, right?
A few years ago, when I got to Las Vegas, you know, there's a part of the desert between LA and Las Vegas. When I was going to Tam, where there's no radio reception, and I had cassette tapes, and my pickup truck has a cassette tape player. Oh. And so I had tunes. And so I was playing music across the desert. And I got to Las Vegas, and I was staying with friends, and they're helping me get my suitcase out of the car. And he looks and he goes, oh, Wendy has audio cassettes.
Imagine if we had 8-track.
Were you kicked and beaten and spat upon?
No, I was an object of admiration.
Yes.
Nice!
She was revered.
You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store.
We've had a lot of people ask us about the comedy sketch clips that we play from the vile comedy album Chaos Radio, so we are making it available to you. You can buy your favorite tracks from the 23-track record individually for $1, or you can buy the entire recording for $18. Go to gumroad.com/Emery Emery. That's G-U-M as in Mary, R as in rapist, O as in oh no a rapist, A as in ass rapist, and D as in did that ass rapist rape your ass in the gumroad.com/Emery Emery and get a piece of comedy that should never have been made, let alone sold to living human beings. And now back to you, Emery.
And now back to Ardent Atheist. Nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with John Rael. Hey. Am I saying your name right? Is it Rael? Rael?
I pronounce it Rael, like train rail, but oh, I'm pretty sure. Also. Yeah, I'm pretty sure the
it's easy to remember. When
yeah.
you say John's name, don't go off the rail. Jared Lennon Kaufman and Wendy Hughes. Ewing Kaufman. That's so weird to me. Oh, Ewing Kaufman is the guy who owns... So now I have a reason for just interjecting the wrong word.
Sure.
Ewing Kaufman owns or owned the Royals franchise.
Oh, yeah. That's totally me.
Ewing Kaufman. No, it's not. Because I was fucking your daughter if it was.
Yeah, no, not me. Not me. Definitely not me.
Why would he screw your daughter because of that?
No. I was sleeping with the... never mind. When I was younger, I dated a girl that was the.
I don't care what you own, Jared. I'm not going to have sex with your daughter.
Not the daughter.
Thank
the
you.
Granddaughter.
Thank you. Long,
Jared
long time.
Doesn't have a daughter.
I do. She's 10.
You have a 10-year-old?
I have a 10-year-old.
Out! I had no idea.
I have a 10-year-old daughter. I've got a 4-year-old son.
I'll be goddamn.
This guy's already lived like an entire life.
I
That's
know.
Right. Let me tell you, Freaks and Geeks, and you guys got together recently. Is that right?
Yeah, that was pretty damn cool. Yeah, a few weeks ago, before Dragon Con, I got a Facebook message that I just happened to see because it gets hidden in that stupid little secret other inbox on
right.
Facebook
yeah.
from Judd Apatow's assistant. Asking, hey, are you available this Sunday for a Vanity Fair photo shoot?
What?
You know, it had been a while since my last Vanity Fair photo shoot.
And you told him to go fuck himself.
So I was like, all right, I can make it to this one. So I got to go in, you know, bring some clothes with me, which they ignored, and they had an amazing wardrobe set up there, and right. everybody. This was the biggest Freaks and Geeks reunion they have ever done by far, evidenced by the fact that they called me in. I did only 3 episodes of the show, but yeah, they've done a bunch of other reunions, but usually the main cast. This had the main cast. Everyone was there, and it's amazing because almost all of these people are major somebody now. Yeah. I mean, you just look at Seth Rogen, Jason Segel, James yeah. Franco, yeah. Linda Cardellini, who? For examples. Which one?
I said who. I was trying to slip a who in.
Right, and that's good. But all these people are major now. And seeing them in person, I mean, they all would see me, walk up to me, and remember me, and shake my hand, and ask me how I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I mean, all these people are... Linda Cardellini... heard my name, turned around, ran up to me, and gave me a hug.
Nice.
And I never even worked directly with her, but yeah. she was just someone I, you know, talked to on the set, and this was 12 years ago.
Right.
So these people are incredibly kind, genuine, nice people who have made it big and managed to stay exactly how cool they always were.
I like to imagine that before he got there, Judd Apatow pulled them all together and said, okay, listen, there's this one guy we worked with I want to remind you about. Make him feel welcome. He only did 3 episodes and he's very fragile.
That's not what happened.
That's what happened.
And guys, he thinks he's coming to do a Vanity Fair shoot. I swear to God.
It's going
to
be unpunked.
Best punking ever.
He's coming.
We're not even going to tell him. Months from now, this thing still won't have hit the magazine. He's been wondering. This will be hilarious.
Yeah. And they're going to name you as Jarrett Ewing Kaufman. Lennon, no relation, right?
No, named after, but no direct relation. Cool. My mother actually worked for him.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd your mom do for Lennon?
You know, I always get this story wrong, so if she happens to be listening and is in the
I hope to fuck your mom is not listening to this cunt of a show.
She's listening.
She is listening.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
She told me that she loves the
she
show.
Does
like
she
the
does
show,
love the show, absolutely. Oh,
she's
yeah.
Such a nice
I believe she was in a personal assistant of some sort, but I don't have all the details.
Yeah. I bet you Jared's mom and your mom would get along.
We should just put her on the show with her. Yeah, let's put her on the show. Would your mom do our show?
I'm sure she would.
We should put her on the show and have mom call in and they can just kind of go,
that'd be great.
Your mom is so excited about everything.
She is. She's a very excited person.
Oh, I love everything.
Very enthusiastic.
Everybody. I love everything and everybody.
Yeah.
Ironically, she would prefer to do the show without Jarrett.
Yes.
They have like this. She doesn't want to embarrass him.
She likes to not invade my space.
Yeah.
But every time I see you, she's there.
But she's over there.
She's lurking from no.
Oh.
No.
Or mom.
What's mom doing now? She retired?
Right this minute. Yeah, well, she works.
Right this minute.
Yes. She works in all sorts of various things she can pick up on the side. She does transcription and all sorts of things.
Right.
Which is actually something I do, too, but it's a skill I picked up from her.
You're doing the transcription stuff?
It's something I do on the side, yeah, just bring in a little bit of extra money.
You're
but
never available. You're always busy as hell.
I am a ridiculously busy person.
I mean,
I've got a completely full-time job. But, you know, I work with Wendy running The Odds Must Be Crazy.
Yay.
I have a theater company that takes up a lot of my time. John and I are in a short film right now.
I'm
taking
kicking
up
him
my
in
weekends.
The nuts on Sunday.
He's kicking me in the nuts on Sunday.
Ooh.
And I'm not even getting paid for it, John. And I'm not even paying you for it, John.
That's a good point.
I must tell
overall.
You. If money is exchanged, that makes it horrific.
But and not, sexy.
And sexy.
Right.
And there will
they're
be
not
photos, right?
Of course. There'll be
yes.
video.
There will be video.
This will be on YouTube for all of existence.
I'm starting
forever.
To see a theme in all of your skeptically poned work.
Oh, God.
There's a lot of ball kicking.
Yes.
That's the point. That's the
logo.
That's the kicker.
It is.
Hey, this guy.
Well done.
Aristocrats reference there. And here's the kicker. Grandma's dead. I think John Ross said. Did it John Ross? No, it wasn't John Ross. I don't know. It's been a long time since I've seen my own movie.
Sound like Gilbert Godfrey the way you said it.
Every time I do a character, it's pretty much got some Gilbert Godfrey. Did
even Sarah Silverman.
Yes, if I do Sarah Silverman, I'm going to just stop there.
Every time I do Sarah Silverman.
Every time.
I'm gonna have pretty soon. You know, we had talked you and me, John, about having you on the show with Edward.
Edward.
Yeah,
there's
no
only
you
one
need
of them.
Your medicine, Emery.
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna kill you. Later.
I have the drip over
with
here.
My penis.
.com.
You've done that already.
I'm reading his book right now.
You
and,
are,
and we're gonna do a full show on his book. We're having mom. We'll talk
and
about
who
his book.
Lent you that book.
That book was lent to me by Wendy Hughes of all people.
Yay! I bought mine.
I'm marking it up so
I
you can sell
mine
it.
Too.
I'm marking it up with highlighters mine. And I putting notes in the side so you can sell it for hundreds and hundreds of pennies.
In the future, yes, it'll be worth a lot more.
With shit stains on it.
Yes, yeah. With shit stains on it. We have run out of toilet paper in my house.
Yeah. I'll be interested in what he wants to specifically highlight to ask Mark about.
Have you read the book?
No, because I lent it to you before I read it, because
yeah.
I knew I was going somewhere.
It's all your fault, Emery.
It's in pristine condition. You've read it.
I have. Yeah, cover yeah. to cover.
Really?
I haven't.
Yep.
So do you want to give your little...
not yet. Well, you can. Let's touch on it a little bit. Just a little bit.
A little hint. This is not a skeptic book for the faint of heart. This is not a skeptic book for the skeptic who lives in an echo chamber. And by the way, at this point, I'm imagining every single skeptic in existence pointing fingers at each other,
yeah, yeah.
Mexican standoff style. No, this is a skeptic book that's gonna raise your eyebrows. It's gonna what I love about it is the amount of empathy I actually gain for the psychic trade, or by the end of this book, art form. Even what I'm hesitant about is the guy's still doing it.
Yeah, yeah.
Mark is still a psychic.
Yeah, he is. He does psychic readings for people for money. And and that's what made me go, I have to check this out. I have to read the book. I have to see how he's as a skeptic. He's an outspoken activist skeptic.
Very,
right?
Very.
So how is a skeptic doing psychic performances for people for money. I need to get to the bottom of
this. This has been discussed, you know, because you know Wendy and I are friends with him. I think John, yeah, John is too. I mean, he's in the IIG with us. He's on the steering committee with us. So he's a close friend. So I've had a lot of time with him. So I'm not going to put words in his mouth as far as this goes. But it's certainly something that's been discussed a lot, and he does get a lot of shit for it.
I know. He mentioned that to me when I talked to him. Yeah.
So you know, I'll be interested to see how he discusses it with you. But he definitely has his answers,
and I had no idea.
They're compelling.
It's a great read, by the way.
Yeah,
I'm a really slow reader. I'm so molasses.
Take your time.
I am. Well, you know what? We can't do it. We can't. You're not available next Sunday because you're going to be kicking Jarrett in the balls.
The following Sunday.
I can't do that date either. It's already pre-booked. I apologize.
With who?
I think it would be with whom, since you don't
whom.
Know and whom.
Oh.
I can't. I don't remember exactly who I have booked. I will let you know as soon as I can pull it up here. But
they must not be that important.
Right. It's very important that I've already promised that date to Mike Kaplan and Ben Elwood.
Mike Kaplan and I believe Ben that's right.
Yeah,
Elwood.
Yeah, you don't know. But those guys on the 23rd are booked. And I think Micah Sherman is joining Mike Kaplan. So that date was already spoken for. I'm hoping he and you are both available the following Sunday.
Well, I know me and my girl are definitely available pretty much any Sunday you need.
Jen Brown.
Jen Brown, yes. Yeah.
Cool.
Jen.
Saucy, adorable lovely Jen Brown. Jen Brown.
Now, when she's you really say pretty. You and your girl are available any Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
this is going out to the internet, right?
Yeah. This is live as we speak. Is she listening? Where is she? Why? She couldn't be here. She's working.
No, she is at the Wiltern managing stuff.
She's an in-charge kind of lady.
She really is.
Yeah. She's a power player. She works for Wolfgang Puck.
Wolfgang Puck / any venue they kind of infiltrate. She manages the alcohol flow and makes lots of money.
That's
so,
why she's always like that.
Always like that.
My so sugar mama.
I've been pretty good about managing my alcohol flow too.
All right. We'll call you if we need somebody.
That's right. Well, it's just for me.
Am I the only non-drinker in the room?
Yes.
He doesn't really drink.
I don't drink much. A lot.
I've seen you drink Stella.
Yeah, once in a while when it's really hot outside,
which brings us to the next part of
really cold.
Wendy, we got to talk to you.
Wendy, we had you over for a reason.
Well, there's an intervention.
Lock the door.
You had a drink when you came to my show.
Did she?
Did I?
Yeah, you had.
Wendy,
a
we have all seen you drink.
I must be a liar.
I've written something down.
This is actually a sketch we've been working on, too. Yeah. We've done sketch comedy together at the Second City Theater, and we've been working on intervention sketch.
Because if you imagine an intervention situation, even if you have somebody who is a stone sober, just happens to have a drink every once in a while, there's no use denying anything. If you have a group of people that are accusing you of something, doing an intervention, the more that you explain yourself, the crazier and more, you know, depleted you look.
Yeah, right. I mean, there's that whole rule, you know, the first step is, you know, admitting you have a problem, which means, of course, if you don't admit you have a problem,
you've
got a problem.
Yeah.
So there's no winning.
But my problem is people misunderstand me.
And it starts.
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a political tactic.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it's a skepticism tactic these days.
Is it? Talk about this.
No matter what we decide you are that. And if you deny it, and the more you deny it, the more you must be it.
And if you're not with us, you're against us.
Yes.
Right. That's the one.
That brings me to my new atheism movement.
What's that?
Atheism plus rape. If you don't want to join my group, we're still going to force it on you.
That will be popular amongst a certain subset.
Anything would be popular amongst a certain subset.
That's true.
Atheism
the internet.
Plus foot fist. You know, you have a word for fisting, but you don't really
footing.
Footing doesn't do it because that word's already taken. That reminds me of a joke.
Footsing.
My mom called me one day and said, "Okay, I'm at the vet." And I'm trying.
What's your mom doing at the vet?
She had a dog.
Oh,
she's healthcare. It's fucking expensive. Mom's at the vet. She's got the dog there, and it's on the piece of paper that she has to fill out for the doctor to go in with the dog. She has to say what the problem is, and apparently, recently, her dog's penis has been getting a buildup of pus.
Mm-hmm. Oh, do we have to talk about this?
Yes. Hey, poor dog.
Yes. And, yeah, this is very clinical.
Why don't we pray for him? Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, segue. Nice segue. Hey, that was my word.
That's a badly timed segue. I'm halfway through a story here. Anyway, so she goes, write down this sentence as I read it to you. She go, and so I'm writing it down as right, and she goes, I can't figure out how to word it. And I, and she goes, my dog's penis keeps getting pussy.
And the person who reads that for him is thinking, good, everything's working out well for that dog.
The dog's doing well. Yeah. The dog's doing fine. And I said, I'm sorry, Mom, that word's already taken. I said, write down a buildup of pus.
Very nice.
Schmegma.
Speaking of praying for animals.
You can't gotcha. Yeah, we Heather just today came across a really interesting, post on Facebook. Yeah. You have it up there in front of you, Heather?
No.
I've got
is it the little cast kitten?
Yeah,
there's a kitten.
There's a kitty cat in a cast with something up, like they're feeding it maybe medicine or something.
It looks like a
stethoscope or something.
Oh, that's a stethoscope.
To it, yeah.
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 And they're taking the cat. All it says is,
going to ER vet now. Please pray for Jackson. Presumably the cat is Jackson.
Yeah, presumably the cat is Jackson.
Michael's already dead.
It's too late for Michael.
Right.
There's no praying.
LaToya, Janet.
And there are 123 comments that are all saying, sending my prayers.
Sending
pray
many prayers.
Him.
There's also a lot of sending
prayers.
Sending positive energy positive for the people energy. Who are against prayer but still apparently
those
believe
are the
in
humanists
energy.
In the room.
Yeah.
And I don't think there are any atheists on this
board. I wrote poor
oh, there are. A
whoa,
couple of my
what'd
friends
you say,
are
Heather?
I wrote poor kitty.
Nice.
Because I don't want to say I'm praying, but I want to say that I care. And, whenever anyone's sick, whenever anyone's upset, like this cat's owner is obviously really upset about this. I'm not going to sit there and go, well, you know.
This
there
is not the dick opportunity.
Yeah, if someone was on their deathbed, I wouldn't say it.
I try to only shit on prayers if it's my injury.
Yeah.
Like, oh, we'll pray for you. Please do something productive.
Right.
Yeah.
That's literally the least you can do for me. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, intercessory prayer... It was a part of one of the IIG investigations.
Oh, you did a study on it. They did a study on it.
And there have been a couple studies. And our investigation was into therapeutic touch, which is taught to nurses and continuing education courses for nurses.
Right.
Boy, was that interesting. And the intercessory prayer part of it, I experienced when I kind of got religion for a few years right before my dad died. And I belong to a Jewish congregation, a congregation of Jewish mystics. And every Saturday after Saturday morning, it was similar, right? But it was not the black hat kind. It was modern clothes, and
that's less interesting.
I'm just imagining you.
The rabbi's wife also did past life regression.
Oh,
it was intense.
Kabbalah minus.
Right. So, but the intercessory prayer part was. It was a sense of, I think that's what's going on here. It's feeling, like this person reaching out and saying, I'm having this problem with my cat, and I love my cat, and look at the cast on its arm. And
it's looks so pitiful and sad.
Right, you're right. It's an opportunity to ask for a community of support, although the person thinks they're asking for actual help.
Right.
And people came out. Even Mark Hennessy Barrett.
Yeah.
Came
yeah,
out and good said, good luck Mark. To you both, Jackson and Clayton.
Very nice. The reason I wanted to mention it is I really liked how, listen, I did not like Phil Plait's speech on Don't Be a Dick. I didn't agree with what he was doing there. I didn't agree that's – I think there's nothing more dickish than telling other people how to behave. That's one of the most dickish things you can do, in my opinion. And so I didn't like it. I think that ridicule is a very effective tool against ignorance. I really do. So I think there are times and places for it, and – I think that this particular time and place, when somebody that I don't know personally posted something about their cat being sick and saying prayers, I just refrained from commenting. I didn't say anything.
This is a perfect don't be a dick moment.
This is a good example of what he was talking about.
Absolutely.
I think he overstepped big time conceptually on it.
Back in that time, I ended up getting into some of the discussions because the girl I was dating at the time was heavily against it and blogged about it. There's all sorts of things. It was all over the place with it. But my position that I got into with a lot of people, and I slowly figured out through comment threads, was all of us actually agreed. The difference seemed to come down to what people assumed Phil Plait was meaning in the subtext. And so there are a ton of people who were saying, well, obviously Phil Plait meant, and they would say, you know, it would be in
response to things
like the...
That's how we got into sexism bullshit.
Right. It'd be things like the Penn and Teller bullshit as an example, a perfect example of ridicule being incredibly effective. Christopher Hitchens being an example of ridicule being effective. There's plenty of examples of that. And everyone was saying, well, obviously he understands that that's an exception. It's like, he didn't say that in the speech. So I can't assume what he does and doesn't mean.
Yeah, there are plenty of times where if we were recorded, it'd be like, whoa, those guys were being total dicks.
Right. Right, and there's, you know, there's so much missing in context and things like this. You can't assume what people mean. So I if I want to apply all of my own beliefs of what Phil Plait meant to his speech and make it perfect, then great, I can fully agree with his speech. But that's what people do with the Bible.
Right. Right.
So you have to take you have to take people at their word. If he says a specific thing, we have to take that until he comes up and says, "Well, no, you're right. I did mean to imply this, and I didn't say that clearly enough."
Right. Well, Wendy, you're one of the nicest people I've ever met in my life.
This is
and
true.
When it, when it comes to ridicule and that sort of thing, as an atheist and as a skeptic, I think you're one of the more tempered people I've ever met. Did you see Phil Plait's speech?
Yes, I did.
And did it connect with you?
Okay, what resonated with me was trying to use critical thinking skills and reflective listening and trying to just be kind. Don't beat people over the head and tell them they're real idiots for believing some of the stuff they believe. But I also know there's another side to that where people give homeopathic remedies to their children.
Right. Dangers.
Yeah. And they take risks with other people's lives because of false beliefs.
Right,
and
right.
I think that that's the part of being in the independent investigations group or in any part of grassroots skepticism where you're also doing consumer protection.
Right, right.
And I can't believe, I mean, like, the amount of money that people spend on what I have a relative who likes to buy vitamins, and I tried telling her, I sent her a link to Harriet Hall's analysis of supplements and vitamins.
Yeah.
Thinking,
are vitamins
she's
just fundamentally
listen to that.
Excuse are vitamins me. Bullshit?
If, well, unless you have a deficiency, yeah.
I see.
Yeah, generally speaking, for most people, unless you've got a specific deficiency, one exception is pregnant women.
Right.
The folic acid and some of those things. The neonatal or prenatal vitamins are pretty valuable.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But generally speaking, yeah, unless you have a known deficiency, our diet, and this is the thing, people say, well, our diet's not good enough. No, even shitty diets actually cover nearly everything exceptionally well.
Especially in the Western world.
Yeah.
The extreme amount of nutrients that are being pumped into our
you're right. Things
gullets.
Are fortified to a degree where it's very difficult to avoid the vitamins. But it is very difficult to be fully to avoid them fully. You have to basically have an incredibly limited diet where you're that person who only eats one type of food for three meals a day.
Yeah.
And
hi, how are you?
What do you eat?
Chocolate.
That's your entire
have
source.
In my purse.
All right.
And see, I think
she's
Brian,
an enabler.
Yes, she is.
I think Brian Dunning actually put it best. You can't add more balance to a balanced scale.
Yay!
Wow. Whoa.
M&M's. All right.
She actually did.
Wow. Peanut M&M's.
I listened to Brian Brushwood.
Yes.
At
Dragon Con. Yeah.
What did he say?
He said, you can catch more flies with chocolate than vinegar. Something like that.
He was giving tips for getting getting free drinks on airplanes and things like that. And it's simple stuff. He keeps packets of M&Ms with him and gives them to the
airline hostesses.
Yes, hostesses. Oh. Whatever the right term
That's
is.
Clever.
Just little tricks like that. You give someone something, you don't directly ask them for anything, and later on they come around and slip you a free drink.
Wow.
Social engineering.
So he's teaching you how to manipulate people.
That.
That's it. Yes. That's all he does.
That really is what he does.
Yeah. Scam school. That's what he does.
Scam school.
Kind of awful.
It's, you're right. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Good God. We've completely skipped our... we'll go to the last ad, baby. Let's do that. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store. And now, a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to a few of our listeners. Names not available because Cameron is a slacker.
These were some of the people chatting on the Wall of Reason last week. Well, these are the screen names of the people chatting on the Wall of Reason last week. Actually, there's no people
there's
on
no
this
screen
list.
Name.
But I want to also say, because I told them I was going to mention this
on
the show.
We're going to do two ads. Do the other one.
Okay. I just wanted to mention this because this is a really good cause. Black Atheists of America is searching for science classrooms in need of supplies for their Science Cubed program. They will donate up to $600 for school supplies per class per year for this purpose. The supplies to be donated are determined by the participants, since the teachers are in the best position to determine what tools are needed to improve their science department. If you are interested in participating in this program or would like more information, please contact these amazing people at sciencecubed@blackatheistsofamerica.org, and their website is www.blackatheistsofamerica.org.
Again, that's Science Cubed, C-U-B-E-D, at blackatheistsofamerica.org. And now back to Ardent Atheist, nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with John Rail, Jarrett Lennon Kaufman, and Wendy Hughes. Again, thanks for being here, everybody.
Anytime.
Anytime.
I was telling Wendy how when I was a dog walker in Philadelphia, I had to go to this one client's house that had a dog who was a stray, but it was really, really old, and it had mange, and it was really messed up. And one of my jobs was to give the dog its medicine. And this woman was a huge believer in homeopathy, even for the dogs.
Right.
So it was, you know, I had 5 pills that I had to give to the dog. I had special stuff to put in the water. I had, you know, stuff to rub on it. And amazingly, well, not amazingly, probably because it went to the doctor, had actual medicine and had a lot of care and love. Mm. It got a lot better in its old age before it died. But it really did make a huge transition from scraggly stray to loving.
Now, you didn't put too much in the water, right? Because that would have made it less effective.
She had a list on a big piece of paper that was tacked up to the cabinets, and I had to like really take a pen and check off everything. It was so many homeopathic pills. Am I saying that right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Homeopathic pills on that list.
Well, the bright side is you technically didn't have to do anything.
I know.
Well, just living in somebody's house and getting fed regularly and groomed
and
probably
pet.
Did a lot for that dog's
health. No, I think Heather had her own place to go back home to every day.
Stop, John.
The show's almost turned into a skeptic show more than an atheist show. But I got to tell you.
Oh, we're atheists. We can talk about atheism.
Yeah, let's
no,
talk
no,
about
no,
it.
No, no, no. I want to finalize this beat that Heather just mentioned with a book that was handed to me just the other day that just made me howl out loud. Amanda, I don't know if she found this book somewhere or where she got it, but she just handed me this and I laughed. Complete Idiot's Guide to Reflexology.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
That's appropriate.
Now it's the first Idiot's Guide that I think makes sense.
Wow. When was that published?
I do not know.
I actually have on my shelf at home The Complete Idiot's Guide to Sex.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? We need to read that book.
Yeah.
No, it's one page. It says just masturbate. No one wants to fuck a retard.
Was there anything in it that you didn't already know?
I don't think so.
She just called you an idiot in the sweetest way ever. What would be in that book? What could possibly be in that
how
book?
How to pick up chicks?
No. How to pick up chicks. Any idiot can pick up chicks.
Well, I assume it tells you, you know, here's
the
clits.
Farm. They
here's the
clits.
Those are testicles. This, you know,
John,
I assume it's,
John, did it have
they
pictures?
Have two clits or yes. more.
Dual clits.
But,
oh, that sounds
fun.
If
you're dealing with many women, you know.
Ah, right. Yeah. Threesome on, yeah.
What is it?
John's prowess has shown its...
reared its ugly head.
Put it back in your pants, John.
Yeah, I don't, the Idiot's Guide things. I like the Idiot's Guides in general, but seeing that on the
and
cover
this is
of
recent.
Book,
it's the Dummies book.
It made
I
me
prefer.
Howl.
This always seemed like the...
For Dummies?
Yeah, the For Dummies
that'd
books
be funnier,
spectacular.
Right?
Yeah.
Acupuncture for Dummies.
Actually, I think I've seen that book.
How
I
about Religion for
exist.
Dummies or the Bible for Dummies? Do
oh,
they
yeah.
exist?
Yes, yeah, they do.
They do. They do.
Yeah.
The Bible for Dummies
yeah.
exists?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and there was that book years back called
it's
The
It's called
book.
The Bible. What are you talking about?
That's pretty good.
Well, they had that book called The Book that Sinbad used to do commercials for,
right.
Which was, you know, the Bible rewritten for average people to be able to read, which is what they've done throughout the centuries.
Yeah.
They rewrite it every few hundred years to make it easier to read.
Yeah. King
it
James
really
changed
exist.
It dramatically.
Yeah. Yes.
For what reason? I think he wanted to get divorced.
Well, and keep in mind, right? wasn't he buried next to his gay partner?
What?
I've been told this, and so I would love for people to clarify whether this
Wall
is
of the reason
is
going haywire right now.
This could be completely made up, but I've been told this on multiple occasions that, you know, historically he's known to have been gay.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I would love for someone to please correct that if it's wrong, and do so fast so we can get it on this episode.
Everyone's a little gay.
Yes.
Well, maybe.
And everyone's a little bit racist.
Sometimes.
Everyone's a little bit racist. That's a great video. What's
I haven't
from?
Seen the video, but the song is from
Avenue Q.
Yeah, Avenue Q.
Yes, there is a video on yes. on this,
along with the internet's for porn.
Yes,
yeah, they did a performance on some show, and there's the people standing there with the puppets.
That's
and the voices.
I have seen
it.
That. Yeah, yes, yeah. Yes.
You know, we should do this more often. Actually, I've never done it before, but we'd like to thank. It says here, Smith Michael in Singapore just bought a full year A2 subscription.
Oh, that's so nice.
Thank you very much. Smith Michael. That's a guy with two first names, just like me.
And they're backwards.
What? Huh? Yeah, Michael Smith sounds like it, right?
Yeah.
But is Michael a last? Yeah, Michael's a last. He's from Singapore. It's his name. He probably is just typing it out in a way that can be said in the U.S. without ripping my tongue out.
It's thoughtful. Yeah. I'd like to give a small shout out, and this is kind of a surprise for Jared here. This Sunday, I actually booked Rachel Bloom.
Sunday.
Fantastic.
Yeah, Rachel Bloom, who, if you guys do not know, you've been making a big mistake with your lives. So rectify that and look up Fuck Me Ray Bradbury.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Is that who she is?
That's her.
I want her on the show.
Yeah, we got her.
Is she LA based?
Yeah, she's LA.
Will you put me in touch?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, my God.
I will let her know.
She's wonderful.
No, I've been addicted to her music.
Right. God damn. Yeah, she did a great song. So that's going to be on.
And Mark Edward, there's a video of Mark Edward and Susan Gerbic actually bringing that music video to Ray Bradbury before he died and having him watch it and watching his reaction.
That's so
you can
great.
Find that on YouTube. It's
I think
great.
It's actually what killed him, right? So what can you tell us about the video you're working on now?
We can tell a few highlights. It's about 2012, The Apocalypse.
Okay.
It stars our friend Jarrett Kaufman here.
That's me.
Mm-hmm. Yay. And we got a couple surprise guests. I mean, I'm not real surprises. I'm going to tell you now so the people listening will be like, who's this John Rayl? I'm going to look this up. Anyways, we got Adam Savage in the episode.
Nice. Yes.
The Adam Savage.
Yes.
And we also have Mr. Deity, Brian Dalton.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, God, man.
So this episode, it's kind of...
And a couple others. A couple others.
Who else?
Whom else?
We have a certain president of an organization.
Oh, shit. Jesus, how did I forget him? DJ Growthy does a cameo.
Really?
Well, nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
With the giant check.
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Got DJ Growthy, got Jen Brown, of course. And,
yes.
That's
cameo enough.
Yeah, and she's going to be doing the special effects, the after effects for it, because she's amazing at that.
Yeah,
and
she is.
It's kind of... It's gotten out of hand, to be honest. Like, there's green screens, and we've done multiple locations, and, you know, it's taken months and months.
You filmed in the Bay Area for this.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, he's gone crazy on this project. This is, his
So in between, just to make me feel like I'm doing more than just one project, there's another episode coming out about power balance in a few weeks.
Oh, great.
Going after the power balance assholes. It seems like it seemed like power balance bracelets were going away. It's...
It just seems like
Australia did a great job of quelling the rise.
There's a bunch of words.
Yeah, it's got a Q and an L in it.
Yeah.
And Australia, I think they outlawed them down there.
But they did manage to do massive damage to the company.
The company was charged for fraud.
Yeah, and meanwhile, here the company filed bankruptcy. They're still in business. They just filed for bankruptcy protection, and now their big thing is custom mouth guards that have the technology in them. Right?
I
think what's happening with those companies, those products in general, is they're now moving into the background of just accepted base level stuff. They're no longer the huge trend that they were initially.
Right.
And I think they're always going to be there.
Fucking sports industry.
Right.
Yeah.
See,
the kinesio tape that was huge at the Olympics, that was a big thing.
Kinesio tape? I don't even know what this is.
It's tape that they wear in various places that supposedly promotes energy flow through the muscles and improves performance. And it is just as much BS as the power balance bands and everything else, but it was hard to find an athlete during the last Olympics who was not wearing it taped in various places on their bodies.
Ridiculous.
Well, you know, my theory on why they're still kind of prevalent, and I see this a lot, especially with young people coming, you know, getting drinks from me. I'm a bartender, by the way, it's extremely ironic. And in fact, my entire sketch about it is about hipsters.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're just doing it out of irony. And, like, every person I catch with one, I call them out. Like, I do the dick thing. I'm like, hey, by the way, you know that's fake, right? Doesn't work. They're like, yeah, I know. It's just fun.
Yeah, yeah. So apparently that's a new market
disagree.
For them.
I have to disagree with your interpretation of, yeah, I know. It's just fun. I really don't think that it's being worn ironically. I think that they just are afraid to admit they believe it.
Trying to save face.
The people I'm really close to. Who will be very honest with me when they wear them, and they know my position. They know that I've done studies, or not studies, but I've done research.
We've
on
done
these
studies.
Things. You've done studies. I've read studies, and so, like Jake Johansson, a good friend, and he's going to be on the show soon. In fact, and he wears what, copper, I think, or something like that, because he thinks it fixes
the magnets.
His elbow. Right,
there's magnets. There's copper. There's, yeah.
And I called him out on it. And
there's the copper magnetic Jesus bracelet.
What?
There's a magnetic copper Jesus bracelet, which is funny because copper's not magnetic. But yes, there is.
It must have a magnetic.
Yeah, there's magnets in it as well, and it's copper, and it says Jesus stamped on it. That's
Jesus
it. It just
Christ.
Has Jesus stamped on it.
What would Jesus heal? Why
not amputees?
But that's exactly right. That's you know, that's a topic we really haven't covered a lot on the show. Mom has mentioned it a few times because it really rubbed her just right, if you will. And the idea that you cannot, nobody can explain why, if there are miracles, why God can heal people of cancer and heal people of all these other ailments. Why are there no examples?
And Brian Dunning did a good episode on Skeptoid about the one example in history of an amputee being healed. Because there is one that the church goes to that they claim they proved.
What?
And really? He breaks it down beautifully. It's worth checking in on Skeptoid. I think you can probably just search amputee on Skeptoid and find it. But yeah, there is one historically proven miracle as far as the Catholic Church is concerned, where they did their entire due diligence and their effort, and they feel that it's a verified miracle.
Ugh.
And he does a great job of breaking it down.
If there is a verified case of a healing of an amputee, I'm completely stumped. What? What'd I do? I invited you here as my guest. That's no great. Moaning.
Oh, and by the way, I did some Googling while I was, you know, also on your podcast. It's okay, I put it away. But no, apparently everything I'm finding agrees that, yeah, King James was quite well known to be gay.
Wow.
Or at least bisexual.
There are studies that...
I've already been saying that. I've been saying that all the time.
You've never said that.
I said it before. Say it again.
But you accuse everybody of being gay, so that doesn't count.
That's my favorite character that you do.
What?
You. Yeah, I did not know that. I'd never heard that at all.
And if I remember correctly, he was buried next to his lover.
I'll be goddamn.
Although that might be the apocryphal part.
Maybe he was buried on top of his lover.
That would be appropriate.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense.
Oh, my God.
What?
I was on Skeptoid here and looking up the amputee thing.
Yes, yes.
And it says, the miracle of Kalanda? Kalanda?
Yeah, that sounds right.
And so right in the middle of the article, there's an... There's an ad for amputee dating.
Fantastic.
Good job with that.
Fantastic.
I love Google.
Find amputees near you. View profiles 100% free. Join
That's
now.
A story you guys should cover.
Google is amazing. Earlier, just for the hell of it, checking the voice search features of my Google tablet, I said vajazzled vagina.
Why would you say vajazzled vagina?
It's such great alliteration.
It's awesome alliteration.
And to throw it a curveball.
Plus, it's really hard to find good photos of that on the internet. It's eerily difficult. But right off the bat, it instantly, voice search, it searched for vajazzled vagina.
Really?
Wow. Beautifully. Google is amazing.
Google is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear a lot more about vajazzled vagina, but you know what? We're out of time for the free episode.
Oh.
So if you want to check in with the premium episode, we'll probably be doing another 30 minutes on vajazzled vagina. This has been the free version of episode 83.
Bye.
Another show that went off without a hitch. We miss you, Hitch. If you'd like to hear the full 90-minute show, please go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe for a measly $10 per year. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson. Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, JR T-shirt Wrangler Swam, and our digital publicist and webmaster, Cameron Underpants Man Winters.
Some characters mentioned on this podcast are completely fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking.
I'm a real person.
Yeah. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Did you want to plug anything? We plugged everything. Didn't
I want people to know that John Rayall was the guy who danced halfway naked at the TAM.
John Rayall was one of the strippers at the TAM, No God Band show.
You're all very welcome.
You look hot.
Thank you.
Yeah, you had been working out, right?
Yeah, well, mostly not eating. Yes.
Oh, yeah. God. Well, that's
working
not good.
Working out just makes you hungry. So
vitamins.
Yeah.
You're hot, John.
Thank you.
New Dissident Radio. Listen before it's illegal.